Jerry Barker joins us on Sports Byline. Well-known author and journalist, he's the author of Unbeatable and produced the documentary Plimpton, and his latest book is called Big Blue Wrecking Crew, Smash Mouth Football, A Little Bit of Crazy, and the 86 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. Jerry, what makes this story and this team any different than any other team in the National Football League?
Well, I'm glad. First off, thanks for having me, and I'm glad you asked that because this team is different in so many ways. And just on the first level, this is the team. The Gatorade shower that's ubiquitous across all of sports started with these New York Giants. And it actually started in 1984 with Jim Burt, the nose tackle, in a retaliatory effort against head coach Bill Parcells after Parcells had busted his chops all week in practice. And then, of course, in 86, Harry Carson, the Giants' middle linebacker, made it a cottage industry. And then another level, you know, is that you've got Phil Simms, the first quarterback, the first player to turn to a camera after winning the Super Bowl and say, hey, I'm going to go to Disney World. And I mean, that's just for starters, Ron.
Let's talk about the perspective from this standpoint, the 80s, when this is going on. Tell everybody what football was like during the 80s.
Well, football, it's a great time to look at football because this is the transitional period from the ruffian era of the 1970s to where football got in the 90s as a profession. So here you're in this great piece of transition here, and it's the 80s. I mean, it's everything that the 80s are. And in Big Blue Wrecking Crew, it's everything that's New York City and the 80s. So the NFL is learning to adjust to things like the proliferation of cocaine in society because it seeped its way into the NFL and in some spots with this Giants team at that time.
That's where I was going next because I remember when the 49ers won the Super Bowl in 82 against Cincinnati. Right after that, when they came back to try to repeat again, Bill Walsh said, you know, the NFL doesn't even know anything about cocaine. He had players falling asleep in the rooms when they were trying to get ready for another game and all of those problems. And the NFL truly was burying its head in the sand. Was it not about cocaine?
Well, I don't know if they were burying their head in the sand. I think that it went from a white-collar drug to a blue-collar drug in a surprising fashion. It went from it was this party drug of the moneyed elite, and then it went down to, you know, your school bus driver, your civil servant, your cook behind the counter at your diner could get their hands on cocaine. I think they were caught off guard by it, for sure. I think they tried to make efforts, but the NFL, their big concern was, hey, one of these players ends up getting addicted to this stuff and they're indebted to their dealer, they're going to end up throwing a game because they're addicted and they don't have the money to pay for their addiction. That was their big concern. You take Bill Parcells. I mean, Parcells had trouble his first year, almost lost his job, going 3-12-1 in 1983, and he realized, I have to address this. And he went outside of the collective bargaining agreement, and he created, and there's the details are in the book here, he created his own testing policy of players, and he actually registered himself as an outpatient at a clinic in New Jersey just so he could begin to understand addiction. And there were guys jettisoned from the Giants. You know, there was a big weeding out process, and drugs were part of that.
You talk very candidly about this team and its roster, and one of the players you talk about is Bobby Johnson, who was a crack addict. It's just that simple. Talk a little bit about his story.
Well, you know, the Giants made it to the playoffs a couple years in a row. They in 85, they lost to the Bears in the divisional round out in Chicago. And sometime in that offseason, Bobby was hanging at his apartment. And a teammate that he wouldn't name came over with a couple of ladies. And basically, she created crack cocaine in a spoon and said, you got to try this. And he said, look, man, when I tried that, it was overwhelmingly good. And he thought, like a lot of athletes do, one of his teammates said the same thing, Lawrence Taylor, and he said it previously, but Bobby Johnson thought, like, look, I can control this. I can completely control this. But as the season wore on, he told me, look, when I was not at the facility, I was using. You know, I would go to work, I'd go to practice, I'd sleep, and I'd use. And, you know, he was very honest about that. And he's, you know, for the Giants, he has a critical place in their history because before David Tyree makes that catch in Super Bowl 42 from Eli Manning, Fourth and 17 in 1986, when the Giants are playing at Minnesota, Bobby Johnson's on the receiving end of that Phil Simms pass, and they win that game. And, you know, they don't win that game, they don't have home field advantage. And who knows how the rest of the season goes if they don't win that game. So it was great to be able to speak to him, and I'm very appreciative of his willingness to be honest about what he dealt with. I mean, he's a guy that when the Giants at the Super Bowl, at the end of the game, he's crying. And he's not crying in celebration. He cried on the sidelines because he knew the gig was up and he was done as a Giant. He knew that the problem was so bad he would never be wearing a Giants uniform again.
Certainly, as great as his talent was, it was also he kind of walked to the beat of his own drum. You know who I'm talking about, Lawrence Taylor. And you tell a story in this book about his connection with the mob and also the Giants Sopranos connection.
I mean, Ron, that was one of the most, like, when I'm doing research with them, I'm like, really? Really? And you find this, you know, the records of a state investigation. I mean, Lawrence Taylor doing appearances for Genovese Crime Family Associates. I mean, it was, you know, he was at some 9-year-old's birthday party. I mean, this is straight out of Sopranos, but it really happened. He did a furniture store that one of these guys owned. He went and did an appearance for. And a former linebacker, Brian Kelly, who was there when LT was a rookie, owned part of a place on Route 17 in New Jersey called Satin Dolls. And Satin Dolls, of course, is the Bada Bing in Sopranos. That people would notice that. And Kelly used to leave. He was part of this investigation as well. He would leave $500 in cash in an envelope on under the bar, in an area under the bar, that a consultant, Vincent Ravo, would come and pick up for consulting him. And you can't see it on radio, but I'm doing quote marks here as consultant.
Jerry Barker is with us. I urge you to check it out. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner. It's called The Big Blue Wrecking Crew, about the 86 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. Every sport tends to lend itself to great stories, but with all the investigation that you did in writing this book, what are your favorites, Jerry?
Well, I love the details about Phil Simms. I really do. I think there's things that people just don't know about Phil Simms. That, one, me personally, as a writer and a journalist, it really interested me. You see Phil Simms today. He's the guy who called Super Bowl 50. He's been on the Madden video game for a few years now. You see him on all the CBS sports TV shows, talking football. You know, Phil Simms came out of Morehead State, number 7 overall pick. People didn't know who he was. But, you know, they also probably don't know that he's one of 8 kids, that he grew up in a 2-bedroom house, that at 7 years old he was a paper boy. Because you know what? If he wanted school supplies in his house, he had to go buy them himself. That there were Christmases where Phil Simms didn't have anything under the tree for him or his siblings. And when they did have stuff under the tree, it might be a pair of pants or gloves. And he said to me, Ron, he said, hey, Jerry, this is not a poor man's tale. This was just the life I had. It's what I knew. Please don't make it a poor man's tale. But I think that background and that origin, I think, lends itself to the toughness and the moxie he had to stick it out in New York and become the quarterback he became. I mean, he did not get along with fans. He did not get along with fans. He was injured 4 of his first 5 years. He finished the season injured. When Parcells got the job, he started Scott Bruner instead of Simms. And then there's a game in 86 where he gets hit so hard against the San Diego Chargers, a wide receiver's picking him up off the concrete turf of the Meadowlands, saying, Phil, you got to get out of this game. You got to get out of this game. And he says to him, he says, I would not give the fans the bleeping satisfaction to come out of this game. I mean, he was a tough dude, and he was a competitor. And that's the other thing, Ron. I mean, he wanted to compete. He wanted to compete. A lot of guys on the Giants talk about, oh, when we lost to the Bears 21-0, that was our rallying point. That was the beginning of the 1986 season. Phil Simms, he said, nah, that's overblown. I just wanted to get back to training camp. I want to get back on the field and play.
We got about 20 seconds left. Tell me what you'd like fans and readers to take away from your book, Jerry.
Well, it really is a book that bridges the generations. you know, you're able to go from the 70s to the creation of modern giant football. If you look at football today, a lot of it is built in the foundation that was created in the mid-80s, and this is a team that certainly, for Giants fans, built modern giant football. And when you look at the Giant organization today, this is where it started. They weren't winners before this, Ron, but this made it that way.
Congratulations on this book. I'm looking forward to reading it from cover to cover. You always write interesting books like Unbeatable, and you also did that documentary called Plimpton. Congratulations on this one. Take care, Jerry. Come back again and join us.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Jerry Barker with us again, author and journalist. Check this book out. It is called Big Blue Wrecking Crew, Smash Mouth Football, A Little Bit of Crazy, and the 86 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. There are some great stories in here. We've got you on Sports Byline.